Let us hear now from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In my experience, the desert is a paradoxical, sort of contradictory landscape. My last class in seminary was a study abroad trip to the U.S.-Mexico border, and so my classmates and I were invited to participate in a desert walk. It was part an opportunity to experience the desert terrain firsthand, and part an opportunity to leave jugs of food and water for migrants traversing the desert. We loaded up our backpacks filled with gallon jugs of water and protein bars, and we hiked through the desert to one of the designated drop sites. Cacti. All right, great. I never really know. And words are hard for me today. So cacti are pretty mesmerizing plants. In the Sonoran Desert, they're as populous as evergreens in the Rockies. They're literally everywhere. Being there in mid-May, the cacti were in bloom, so they had these incredible white and pink flowers. And then not to mention, we were surrounded by these surprisingly impressive mountains. There is a distinct, almost surprising beauty to the desert. Yet at the same time, as many of you probably know, the desert is pretty harsh. It was mid-May, so even in the morning, it was borderline unbearably hot. There's little shade, and beyond the green of the cacti, it's dry and it is brown. You constantly have to be on alert for things that can hurt you, rattlesnakes, scorpions, and don't let the cactus blooms fool you. Cacti have fierce needles that are eager to prick you. The bloodstains on my pant legs are evidence of that. The rocky, dusty hills were challenging even for the most experienced hikers. Simultaneously beautiful and dangerous. When we approached the water drop site, I could tell something was wrong. I'd never been on a water drop before, so I didn't really know what I'd be seeing when I got there. But y'all know that feeling when something is just off, right? Then my mind caught up and it hit me. The water jugs that had been left there previously had been vandalized. They had been slashed and the food buckets had been smashed. It was one of those moments that is still so difficult to comprehend. Who did this? Why? The space had felt violated. And after reorienting ourselves to the surroundings, we silently cleaned up the mess, and then we just sat in the tension of the moment. No one said anything. We just sat, drinking our own water, eating our own snacks, present to brokenness. Standing there with my friends and cleaning up the mess and recognizing the gravity of all this pointed me back to a reality that shook me awake, that broke my heart. Yet, to my surprise, at that desecrated water drop site, in that moment of contradiction, overwhelming tension, I felt closer to God than I did on the rest of that trip. I asked myself all week, why in the world is this passage from Luke the first text in Advent? It's not chronological whatsoever, as it's at the end of Luke's gospel, whereas one might expect Advent scriptures to start, I don't know, at the beginning. Nothing about it feels Advent or Christmassy. Luke 21 is filled with apocalyptic language. There's description of cataclysmic events and frightening images, confusing metaphors. Luke is foretelling destruction of distress among nations. There's people fainting from fear. Y'all, that sounds a lot like chaos to me. And I kept asking myself the question, where is the good news? The first Sunday of Advent, we light a candle of hope. Our theme is draw near to wonder. And my first reading of this text was not very hope-filled, and the only wonder I could muster was, I wonder what I did to deserve this. Luke 21 seems like a strange way to begin the season of Advent. After all, isn't Advent a time to prepare our hearts in joyful anticipation of Christ's birth? The gospel is a paradoxical, contradictory sort of landscape. In reality, maybe the Advent narrative isn't so pretty and happy. Jesus is born into a world broken, messy, and conflicted. And Luke's text, as chaotic as it may be, feels pretty relevant. And as a result, it calls us into the present. It draws us into the reality of the here and the now, a present context where people still grieve, where people still feel alone and unheard, where there are wars and boundaries, disconnect and discontent. This is no time for a child to be born, Madeline L'Engle writes. With the earth betrayed by war and hate, and a comet slashing the sky to warn that time runs out and the sun burns late, that was no time for a child to be born. In a land in the crushing grip of Rome, honor and truth were trampled by scorn, yet here did the Savior make his home. When is the time for love to be born? The inn is full on the planet Earth, and by a comet the sky is torn, yet love still takes the risk of birth. It is with this apocalyptic text, defined by its images of chaos, that we draw our hearts into the season of Advent, simultaneously inviting us to be attentive to the realities of a broken world and the good news that God has chosen to be present in the flesh in that world. We are challenged to not over-sentimentalize this season, and instead we prepare for Christ to come into the world as it is, messy and chaotic, simultaneously beautiful and dangerous. Advent is my all-time favorite liturgical season. I love the color purple. I've been eager to wear this purple tie. I got purple socks on today, my purple stole. Excited for this season. The Advent hymns are fun. I actually texted Ruth this week and was like, we have to sing Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. It's my favorite. It's a time full of anticipation and excitement. Admittedly, it feels a little different this year. I'll be away from home during the holidays for the first time, I think, ever. And so those Christmas songs in the store brings with it nostalgia and a little homesickness. The winter, I think, is hard on a lot of people. The days are shorter and colder. We are reminded of lost loved ones or people we won't get to see. And that's not even to mention the grief I feel at what's happening in the broader world. Yet in this Advent season, despite the darkness and the many reasons we have to lament, I surprisingly find hope and comfort in this wild apocalyptic text. Because it reminds us that God breaks in where we least expect, that God is so present in the grief, the sadness, the brokenness. And Luke's challenge as we prepare our hearts for Advent, as we anticipate the birth of a Savior, be alert. Allow yourself to feel how you are feeling, to be shaken awake and present to the reality that the world is filled with contradiction and overwhelming tension. Be alert to the beauty and the danger, the dark and the light. In doing so, we become in tune with a God that has chosen to break into the world in the midst of the broken and the messy. And in those moments that feel hopeless, where things feel like they're falling apart, Luke offers us a reminder that God doesn't do what we expect. God comes in the flesh amongst the hurting and the vulnerable as a baby. God is present in the chaos. Luke challenges us to be alert to how God is at work in the world, to be attentive to the realities of brokenness, and that drawing near to God doesn't allow us to be above the messiness. Y'all, I think this is an invitation. An invitation to be present to real, deep hope. It is an invitation to move past the abstract and live into the Advent message, to prepare to embrace the radical love of God coming into the world. This is no time for a child to be born. Yet we give thanks to a God that has big plans and abundant love. Be alert. Find hope in the reality that God is present in all of it, in the contradiction, the tension, the chaos, and may we draw near to the wonder that accompanies the truth that God offers something new and amazing and life-giving. The night after our desert walk, we crossed into the border into Agua Prieta, Mexico, where we had dinner at the home of a Mexican couple named Armando and Lily. 15 of us crowded into this small room, but it was perfect because, as Lily told us in Spanish, our space is small, but that draws us closer together. We feasted on pollo al disco, which is a form of Mexican fried chicken, and I thought to myself, there must be something about church people, hospitality, and fried chicken. And we broke bread together. There we were, sitting around a table, talking and laughing, sharing stories, tortillas, and hibiscus water. And Armando reflected on his realities of living on the border. And he said in Spanish, that is just a wall. The borders we create are within ourselves. God loves all God's children, and we just have to try our hardest every day to love each other. Around that table, there was a breaking open of hope and hospitality, a breaking open of light into the darkness. At the table, in the presence of community, here at that table, an Advent moment. God comes into the world amongst the broken and the messy, and that is good news. Amen.